Holy Father, it is very good to be here tonight with you. You have invited us into your house. We have listened, and Father, we want to be able to listen, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I beg of you, Lord, to make yourself clear tonight. Take this gospel, sow it as seeds in good ground in our hearts. I'm asking that you work a miracle in every one of our lives, that this seed will not be taken away by the birds, as it says in the parable. It will not fall upon the hard ground. It will not fall upon stony ground, or ground that is easy and quick to produce weeds. But rather, Lord, produce good fruit from this message tonight. Thank you for this, Father, and we ask that you bless us. Please do not trust me with a single word before this, your people, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Again, revelationwithdaniel.com/final days. Tonight we're going to be talking about mysterious forgetfulness. It's amazing how God can tell us sometimes, God can tell us sometimes that we are supposed to remember something and we forget. So we're going to be looking at that tonight. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the beginning of the Bible. The very onset of the scripture. God is the creator. But did you know, if you read the first chapter of John, if you read the first chapter of Colossians, if you read some other sections of the Bible, like, for example, the first chapter of Hebrews, you will learn that God is... Listen to me now. God is Jesus that created. Okay? John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. There are other verses as well. But let me just tell you straight. Jesus is the God referred to when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Did you know that?
Amen.
That's new to somebody here. I know that. Because not everybody knows that. But let me tell you, there was a gift that God gave to us at the very onset of this earth that tonight you're going to be included in. Schooled in. Okay? Isaiah chapter 1, you can read in verse 1 as we read, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then God sees light that he had made. God made a firmament. He called the firmament heaven. You jump down. God said, let there be grass. God said in verse 14, let there be lights. God made the great lights. God said in verse 20, let the waters bring forth abundantly. God said in verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures. God said in verse 26, let us make man in our image. God is speaking creation into being out of nothing. Okay? This is awesome power. This is the power that Jesus has. Jesus has always had this power. When he came to this earth, of course, he clothed that power with humanity, and he lived like a human so that he would teach us how to live on this earth. Okay, he did it for us. And if he lives in us, he can do it through us.
Amen.
And that's how we end up with him throughout eternity, okay? All this power God said with his words are actually contained in this word still.
Amen.
That's why I've been telling you guys, please read your Bible for yourself. If you do this, you will have the same power in your life that is in the word that's right here that actually created the ground that you stand on. Okay? The fact that you're breathing right now is because of God's word. And if you want the power in your life to continue leading you to be a Christian, it's right here in his word. Okay, now, so, as the creation week comes to an end, we just quickly went over it, Genesis chapter 1, we jump into chapter 2, and it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Okay, now, the earth has been created. Verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it, the seventh day, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So now listen to those verses, verse 2 and 3. God ended his work, he rested, and he blessed the seventh day. Notice right off the bat, it doesn't say a Sabbath day. It says he rested the seventh day. Okay? So on the seventh day, there was day one, day two, three, four, five, and six. On the seventh day, that specific day, he rested, he finished his work, and he blessed that day and sanctified it. Why? Okay, now remember, we talked about it just a little bit yesterday. When God created Adam and Eve, you can read about it in chapter 1. It was on day number what?
Six.
Day number six. That's right. God created Adam and Eve on day number six. Now, really, did God need to rest after creating the heavens and the earth?
No.
When he spoke the life into the creatures, when he spoke and there was light, when he spoke and there was the sun and the stars and the moon, all these things, it didn't take him energy that he needed to recuperate. He is God, after all, is he not? So he didn't have to rest. And guess what? Adam and Eve, they didn't need to rest either, because they had already spent their first night in the Garden of Eden. Okay? They didn't have to rest from sleeping, so the very first night, or rather day, that they spend alive is on the Sabbath, and they were commanded to rest. They're like, God, wait a minute, rest from what? We haven't done anything. God says, I want you to rest from any labor that might come upon in your mind, because I want to spend time with you. Yeah, amen. That's what it's all about. God wanted to spend time with his brand new creatures, Adam and Eve, mama and papa of all of you. Okay? So you come from a lineage, or your great, 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 all the way up into Adam and Eve. You come from parents that had their very first day with God on a day that was blessed and sanctified. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? And don't forget, family, that day was given by Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, hey, check it out. We got to jump now to another section. It's in Isaiah, all the way in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. I'll race you. Isaiah 66, I'm there. Isaiah 66, the Bible says in verse 22. Now, some of you are going to take a little bit of time to get there. On this one, I'm going to wait. The other ones, I can't wait, because I've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight, okay? Isaiah 66, verse 22. The Bible says, for as the new heaven and the new earth. What did we just read about? We read about the first heaven and the first earth that, by the way, if you walked here tonight, if you got out of your car and you stepped onto the asphalt or the concrete and you came in today, you were on the earth that we just read about in Genesis chapter 1 that Jesus Christ created. Okay? Now, here in Isaiah chapter 66, we're reading about a new heaven and a new earth that will be created. Hasn't been created yet. It's going to be created in the future. Okay, now listen up. Verse 22. For as the new heaven and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your children and your name remain. So, okay, on the new heaven and the new earth, I'm promised, according to this verse, that I'm going to have my children there and I'm going to have my own name. They're still going to call me Daniel. The Bible says I'm going to have a new name too, but that's in the book of Revelation. We're not going to go there tonight, but I'm still going to have my name, which also refers to character. I'm going to have my character. I'm going to be me. You're going to be like, hey, I remember hearing you preach, man. I'm going to say, what's up, bumper? You know, we're in heaven together. This is amazing. I expect to be there by God's grace, nothing of myself. And I hope you can have the same faith too. If you believe, the Bible says, and are baptized, you will be saved. That's what it says. If you don't believe, you'll be condemned. It's up to you. I, by God's grace, believe, and I want you to have the same faith. Amen? As the new heaven and the new earth are made, it says in verse 23, it will come to pass that from one month or one moon to another, and from one, what's the next word? Sabbath, from one Sabbath to another. The Sabbath, by the way, is the seventh day. We read about it in Genesis chapter 2. From one Sabbath to another, will all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Whoa! So you're saying in the Garden of Eden, we were supposed to come and worship our forefathers, Adam and Eve. We're supposed to come and worship with God and before him. Yes, that's what it says. And then in the new earth, it's going to be the same thing. We're going to worship before God every Sabbath. Well, yeah, the Bible says. So what's happened in between? I mean, like, why are we not keeping the Sabbath today? Well, guess what? All over the world, people are keeping the seventh day Sabbath. Many of you were actually in this church just yesterday. You were keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. As part of it is coming together and worshiping. There's a lot more that's involved in actually keeping the Sabbath. It's a whole lot of fun. Trust me, I've been doing it for 18 years now. It's amazing. My kids love the Sabbath. My wife loves the Sabbath. And we have people over that enjoy the Sabbath with us. It's a great time for resting, great time for rejuvenation. And so if God created the heavens and the earth and gave us the gift of the Sabbath, and it was Jesus who did it, Jesus, when he saves your soul, and in the new heaven and in the new earth, he gives you the Sabbath. What a blessing, not only at the beginning, but at the end. How much more of a blessing would it be for us to be keeping the Sabbath now in preparation for that time when we're going to be keeping it in eternity? Amen. And how much more of a blessing would it be to remember that God had created it at the very beginning for us as well? Like the old saying goes, okay? The wisdom of the ages is summed up in this. Know where God is going and go with him.
Amen.
My friend said that to me one time. I said, I got to remember that one. So I had to write it down. And I did. So I don't know where you're going to find this, but I'll tell you, I heard it and it made sense to me. The wisdom of the ages is summed up in this. Know where God is going and go with him. I love that. Jump to the book of Exodus. We're going to see right when God had called the children of Israel out of Egypt, and I'm there, I beat you again. Right when God had called the children of Israel out of Egypt, before he gave the Ten Commandments, what did I just say? Before Jesus gave the Ten Commandments, and yes, that was Jesus too. Study your Bibles, you'll find it for yourself. It was Jesus who was speaking from Mount Sinai that spoke the Ten Commandments from the mountain there to the children of Israel is what I meant to say. And guess what? He did it in the New Testament too. He was up on a mountain. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew chapter 5-7. And he spoke the Ten Commandments again. In the Old and the New Testament, Jesus both spoke the Ten Commandments. Study your Bible. You'll see for yourself. In the book of Exodus chapter 16, just after God, Jesus, had called the children of Israel out of Egypt, before he gave the Ten Commandments, it reads right here, verse 2. The whole congregation, the children of Israel, they murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by those flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you, And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my blank. What does it say? Whether they will walk in my law or no. Wait a minute. What are you saying, God? You have a what? You have a law? What kind of law? Well, let's see. It says in verse 5, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Why? What's the deal here? Jump to verse 22. It says in verse 22, it came to pass that on the sixth day, as God had instructed Moses, they, the children of Israel, gathered twice as much bread. It was manna. This is manna that had come down from heaven. Two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, like, hey, wait up, what's going on? They're gathering twice as much. And so Moses said to them in verse 23, oh, this is what the Lord had said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy what? Sabbath. The what?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. Okay, so wait a minute. The manna falls down from heaven every day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so that's sixth day. On the sixth day, they're supposed to gather how much more? They're supposed to gather twice as much. Why? Notice what it says there in verse 23. He said, this is the Lord, what the Lord had said. Tomorrow, which, because it's the sixth day, tomorrow is the seventh day, right? Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil or seethe what you will seethe, and that which remains over for you is to be kept until the morning. And so every other day you could read that they had actually tried to keep it over on like a Monday, and it turned into something filled with worms, and the Bible says it stunk. Okay, like you don't want to eat that. I don't like eating worms, and I don't like eating things that stink, okay? But here, it says in verse 24, they laid it up into the morning, and Moses, as Moses had made, and it did not stink, neither were there any worms therein. Verse 25, the Bible says, Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. That's why yesterday you were supposed to gather it twice. Verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be no bread that falls down from heaven. Verse 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they didn't find any. Why didn't they find any? Because God wanted, before he gave the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, is in Exodus chapter 20, we're in Exodus chapter 16, before he gave the Ten Commandments, he wanted to show them that he loved them so much. He wanted not only to take care of their physical needs by raining down bread from heaven, he actually wanted them to understand about the seventh day, which was the Sabbath. Why? Because he wanted to spend time with them.
Amen.
Yeah. You see, God is very relational. God loves when you spend time with him. You ever seen those books, something like The Five Love Languages? How many know about those books? There's the acts of service. There's the words of encouragement. There's gifts. What else? There's, physical touch. And then the last one, time. Okay? God likes time. He likes you to spend time with him. That's why the Bible is encouraging us all the time to pray and to read the Bible. See, when we pray, we're actually talking to God. We're using our words to talk to God. When we read the Bible, these are his words, and he's talking to us. We're having a conversation. The more we spend time in prayer and Bible study, the better we get to know God, and the more like him we will be. So then, in verse, I think we're in 27, verse 28. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will they refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Isn't that amazing? Like, wait a minute. God is laying out the commandments and the laws before he even gave them on Mount Sinai? Yes. And then it says in verse 29, see,
For that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day to try to gather this manna, because it's not there. Verse 30. So the people rested on the what day? The seventh day, which the Bible calls the Sabbath. It was a time to be with God. Like the song said, I really appreciated the song. It is a vacation with God every single week. And guess what? We're commanded to take vacation every single week. Oh, it's such a bummer to be a Christian. I have to take a vacation every single week. Yeah, it's vacation. I love the Sabbath. It is such a wonderful time to spend with God and with my family and with my friends. And guess what? I have to. What a bummer. No way. No way at all. Now jump to Exodus chapter 31. You're going to be amazed by this one. I am already there. When you see in Exodus chapter 20, God gives the Ten Commandments. He literally speaks the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. And guess what? The fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Guess what? You can't keep any other day holy, listen to me, because no other day was made holy. And you can't make a day holy by not doing stuff on it. Okay? So literally, there's only one day you can keep holy, because there's only one day that is holy. So really, I keep any day holy. No, you don't. Not unless you think you're God making it holy, but you're not, just in case you didn't know. Okay, now, Exodus 31. God had given Jesus, God, same character. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. And there's the Father, there's the Son, I understand. But Jesus is the one who's doing this right here. Jesus speaks the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. Moses, Aaron, the 70, they go up there, they eat with God. We talked about that yesterday where they had the blue stone under God. Remember that? Moses stays up on the mountain for 40 days. He gets all these instructions directly by God. He is given the Ten Commandments in Exodus 31, verse 18. But right before, hear me now, right before God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, it's almost like he's ready to hand it to him, but he says, I want to say something first. Read verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He was refreshed because he was able to spend time with his creation, not because he needed to be refreshed from labor. God is refreshed when he spends time with you on the holy Sabbath day. And so right before God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, he says, now listen, the Sabbath is something I want you to remind the children of Israel about. Here, Moses, here are the Ten Commandments, verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of the testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Isn't that amazing? Like, out of all the commandments, God said specifically to Moses, remember them, remind them to keep the Sabbath. Because, listen, if we, as humans, have had always remembered to keep the Sabbath, there would be no confusion about creation. Amen. Meaning, in case you didn't catch what I was saying, we wouldn't have this theory of evolution in our schools. There'd be no confusion about creation. We would know that God created the heavens and the earth, and therefore gave us the seventh day to be reminded about his creative power and his desire to dwell with us. There would be no confusion. We wouldn't have to worry about worshiping other gods, because by the Sabbath, we would have that sign between us and God that would remind us that God is our creator. We wouldn't have to worship idols, because if we knew that God was the creator of heaven and earth, we would know that nothing that he created was the creator of heaven and earth. It was him that created it. The Sabbath is a reminder of all those things, and I'll tell you, if you spend time with him, you'll be more of a blessing to others.
Amen.
That's where all the rest of the commandments come in. You wouldn't kill, you wouldn't steal, you wouldn't commit adultery, you wouldn't covet, you see? So it's amazing. God reminded them about the Sabbath for a specific reason, because it's spending time with God. That's what it's all about. Let's read the commandment now, Exodus chapter 20. So jump backwards to chapter 20, and starting in verse 8, the Bible reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Why did God say remember? Because people would forget. If I was positive my wife would remember to get bread at the store, I would not send her a text that said, "Hey, sweetheart, remember the bread." But if I think, "Ooh, she's busy, she might forget the bread," I'm going to send her the text, "Hey, sweetheart, get the bread." God said to us in the Ten Commandments themselves, remember. Why? Because he knew we would what? That's why the title of tonight is Mysterious Forgetfulness. I'll tell you why we forget. Now listen up. It's because the devil himself and all his imps cannot stand you spending time with God. Every time you spend time with God, it actually breaks down his kingdom. And every time you spend time with God, you become more like Christ. And so therefore, if the enemy can break you away from spending time with God and help you somehow to mysteriously forget to remember the Sabbath day, he's winning. So then, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Let's see. Yeah. 6 days the Lord... I was saying the wrong part of it. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it you will do no work. You or your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, or your stranger that is within your gates. Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And he rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The words seventh day and Sabbath day are used interchangeably. Okay, same thing. Now listen, this is amazing. In the book of Revelation, turn there now. Revelation chapter 14, it says in verses 6 through 12, that there are three angels that are presenting a message to the entire world. It is the gospel, okay? You can read it in verse 6. It says, "I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the what? The everlasting gospel to preach unto all those that are in the earth, to every nation, to kindreds, to tongues, and to peoples." It says in verse 7, "He says with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." Notice what it says in the middle of verse 7. "Worship him that made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters." Now listen, you just read the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, which said, "For in the seventh day the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is." In the book of Revelation, the first angel that has the everlasting gospel that goes to the entire world, it's quoting directly from the Ten Commandments, but not only that, it's quoting directly from the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath commandment. Why? Because we read God in the very beginning created the heavens and the earth and rested the seventh day. And at the very new heaven and new earth, God is going to recreate the heavens and the earth, and he's going to have us come before him every Sabbath day. So in between this one and that one, we are told, included in the gospel, that we are to remember and worship him that made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. It makes perfect sense. It is biblical.
And if you ever wanted to share a message with your pastor, last night and tonight are the ones. Just to let you know.
So then it says there in verse 7, quoting directly from the fourth commandment, worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters.
It goes on in verse 8, and it says, Babylon, which is that lady that we learned about the other night that's on that beast, she's called a whore, and she wears all the colors but blue. What does blue do?
It reminds us of the commandments. And so this lady that's a harlot that's sitting up drinking the blood of the martyrs, she doesn't wear blue. She doesn't keep the commandments. She is therefore Babylonian. She is not God's people from Jerusalem. She is Babylonian. She is heathen. She is carnal. She is pagan.
Okay? She'd rather worship the sun, S-U-N, than the sun, the S-O-N. And we'll talk about that. In fact, let me see if I remember correctly. Tomorrow night is nothing. You won't be here tomorrow night. If you're here, you're the preacher. How's that? The next night, we're going to be talking about the Antichrist revealed. You won't want to miss that. Seriously, okay? That's Tuesday night right here. Sometime shortly thereafter, and I don't remember exactly, but we're going to be talking about the mark of the beast. You won't want to miss that. I will talk straight to you that night, okay? I will not hold back. On that night, God has a message that he wants to share with you, and you got to be here for that. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you got to be here. Now listen, Babylon has fallen, and then in verse 9 it says, if any man worships the beast and his image, which the beast, by the way, is the one that's carrying that harlot woman over in chapter 17, the beast and his image, which is really from chapter 13, and they're trying to destroy the world. That's just to let you know. The beast and his image, if any man worships them, he's going to receive a mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Jump down to verse 12. But contrary to those that worship the beast and his image, it says in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. I'm letting you know, yesterday we saw the commandments of God are a transcript or a reflection of God's character. Remember that? You can see the chart. God is, the law is, holy, perfect, pure, just, true, spiritual, righteousness, faithful, unchangeable, eternal, and light. Okay? All those wonderful things God is. And his law is. And so the people at the end of time, in the scenario of the mark of the beast, they're not going to be worshiping the beast in his image. They are going to be keeping God's commandments. And so, just to let you know, the commandments and obedience to God's commandments through the Holy Spirit living his life out through you, that is how to stay away from worshiping the beast in his image. Okay? It's pretty simple once you understand it, but I'm telling you, it's going to be really tough. Don't think that all this stuff is going to be easy if you understand the truth. It's going to be really tough. I believe that with all my heart. Now, in Luke chapter 4, let's see who gets there first. Luke chapter 4. I am there. Who was there first? Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, the Bible says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and he went out, and the fame of him went throughout the region. It says in verse 15, he taught in their churches or their synagogues, being glorified by everybody. And then notice verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is like his hometown. And as his custom was, he went into the church or the synagogue on the what?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath day. He stood up for to read, and they gave him a book, and he read directly from the scripture. Now, jump down to verse 31 and 32. The Bible says, and he, Jesus, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, And he taught them on what days? The Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Ha! So Jesus was a preacher. That's what the Bible's teaching him. Jesus was a preacher on what day? The Sabbath day. And let me tell you, if anybody knew what day was the Sabbath, it was the one who created it.
Amen.
It was Jesus. So when Jesus was here, he kept the Sabbath, the seventh day, Saturday. Okay? There is confusion in the camp, friends. Some people say the Sabbath is Sunday. It is not. I challenge them, biblically and historically. I challenge them. You go ahead, look up your encyclopedia, look up the dictionary, look up anything you want. Some calendars are starting to switch around today, I'm telling you the truth, and making Sunday the seventh day. But it is not that way historically, all the way back to Genesis. Now listen, the Jews are a people, a nation, that have been here ever since Jesus has been on the earth. Is that true? Yes or no? If you ask them and their culture what day they keep as the holy seventh day Sabbath, according to the Bible, they will tell you Saturday. If they're wrong, I have no idea what else to say. But they're not wrong. They've been on this earth ever since Jesus has been on this earth. And they kept the same day and still keep the same day Jesus kept while he was here. The Bible has never changed. It has always been the same. The seventh day is the Sabbath, which is Sunday. So now, let's go over to Luke chapter 23. This is profound, you guys. You got to turn. What did I say? See, you guys are right on. Thank you. The Sabbath is Saturday. Jump to this verse right here. Chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, verse 52. And we're going to see right at the end of Jesus' life. He has already died. In verse 52, there's a man, his name is Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. You probably have heard of him, maybe, maybe not. Verse 52, this man went to Pilate. Pilate was the guy who finally condemned Jesus to die. And he begged the body of Jesus. Well, so the guy said, all right, fine. So Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body down off the cross, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb or a sepulcher that was made out of stone. Nobody had ever laid there before. It says in verse 54. That was the preparation day. Let me just spell it out. The preparation day, according to the New Testament, is the same day where there was twice as much manna that was given to the children of Israel. What day was that?
Friday,
the sixth day, okay? So this is preparation day. This is Friday. And it says that day was preparation day. By the way, Jesus died on Friday. We all know that. And the Sabbath drew on. It says in verse 55. The women also, which came with him from Galilee, they followed after. They were watching Joseph of Arimathea with the body of Jesus. They beheld the sepulcher and how the body was laid. It says in verse 56. Do not skip this. They returned and they prepared spices and ointments. Okay, they wanted to embalm the body of Jesus. He had just died. He had just been put into a tomb. But it says in the middle of verse 56. And they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Ha! Wait a minute. Are you saying, disciples, that even after Jesus died, you wanted to keep the commandments? Oh yeah. Because in his life, Jesus taught obedience to his Father.
Amen.
Obedience to God's character, which is the commandments. And he even said in Luke, John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus, these are his words now in red. If you love me, finish it with me, keep my commandments. My commandments. It was Jesus who gave the Sabbath. It was Jesus who spoke the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. It was Jesus who repeated the commandments on the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapter 5, verses, or chapter 5, 6, and 7. Was that the Mount of Olives? I don't remember at this point. But anyways, he was there on the mountain. I'm good? Thank you. It says there in verse 56, They rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now listen, verse 1 of chapter 24, it says, now upon the first day of the week. What day of the week?
First day.
The first day. Okay, wait a minute. We saw the preparation day. It says in verse 54, the Sabbath drew on. The people, after preparing spices and ointments, rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. And then it says, on the first day, which is Sunday, it says, the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, which is the grave, bringing the spices which they had prepared. What does this mean? This means that Christ's disciples would not break the Sabbath even after he died. They waited and rested, kept the commandment after he died, and then early in the morning on the first day, they brought the spices they had prepared on Friday. Didn't that make good sense? Okay, now listen. The Bible, astronomy, language, and history, all of them tell clearly the seventh day is the Sabbath, and the week has never changed. Right here, in fact, the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. says there is no change in the continuity of the weekly cycle. You can see all the stars, you can see everything like that, and they can say it has always been first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, and then the Sabbath, always. Now, the British Royal Observatory, the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, England, confirms the authenticity of the weekly cycle. By the way, I have a question. This is, I don't think is in your notes. But I wonder, where do we get a year from? Is it the earth rotating around the sun? Yes or no? Where do we get a month from? Is it the moon rotating around the earth? Yes or no?
Yes.
Where do we get a day from? Is it the earth rotating on its axis?
Yes.
365 times while it goes around the sun? Yes, right?
Yes.
Where do we get a week from?
Bible.
You're like, right here. Right here. This earth, all the way around the world, keeps the seventh-day cycle. Why? Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In 6 days, he created the heavens and the earth, and when it was finished, he rested the seventh day, and the Lord blessed it and sanctified it, and he gave it to us as a gift of time with him. That's why we keep the seventh-day Sabbath. That's why we have a weekly cycle. Isn't that amazing? The Bible is powerful. Now listen, the Sabbath. In over 105 languages in the entire world, the word for the seventh day of the week is Sabbath. How many languages do we have here tonight? Spanish, sábado. Okay. Jewish, Shabbat. What else? What other languages?
Portuguese.
Portuguese. What is the word? Sábado. What is another word language? Filipino, what is the word?
Sabado.
Where else?
Thai.
Thai, what is it? What does that mean?
One Sabbath.
One Sabbath.
Sabato,
day of rest, okay. I tell you, 105 different languages around the world, it's always Sabbath. That is fascinating. Okay, you can't get away from it. Now look at the book of Acts. We're not going to turn there. I'm just going to read them real quick to you, because we got a lot of scripture here. Acts chapter 13. When they, that's God's, missionaries, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue where? On the Sabbath day, and they sat down. Same chapter, 13 verse 42. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that those words might be preached to them the next what? Sabbath. Wait a minute. Jews and Gentiles were asking about the Sabbath in the book of Acts after Jesus not only died but ascended? Oh yeah. Chapter 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. Acts 15, verse 21. Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him. being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Isn't that amazing? Look at chapter 16, verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a river where prayer was accustomed to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted thither. Chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. They came to Thessalonica. This is the book of Thessalonians. They came to the Thessalonican area where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. In the next chapter 18, verse 1 and 4, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, the book of Corinthians, and he reasoned in the synagogue every, Sabbath, persuading both Jews and Gentiles, or Greeks. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, Paul says. All right, now wait a minute. If Paul had said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, would that include if there was a change in the seventh day? Some people tell me, I've studied with numerous pastors and I've studied with thousands of Christians, the answer to this conundrum here, they'll all say, every one of them, we honor Sunday because Jesus, he died and resurrected on Sunday. And therefore, we honor him on Sunday because of the resurrection. Where in the Bible do you find that? Where I will show you where you find a commemoration of God's resurrection is baptism. According to Romans chapter 6, you die with Christ, you're buried in the water of baptism, you are brought up into newness of life, you are to walk with him. So this commemoration thing about Sunday and the resurrection, nothing biblical. It's tradition only. I follow the Bible, and I want you to do the same thing. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 says, I, John, was on the island of Patmos and heard behind me a voice speaking, but he was on the Sabbath day, or the Lord's day rather. It says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice. Now, the Lord's day, we could say right from Genesis and the book of John chapter 1, Genesis 2 and John chapter 1, that the Lord's day, the one that he blessed and sanctified, the one that he rested on, would be what day? The Sabbath, the seventh day. And with John chapter 1, Jesus being the creator, we would say that day is the Lord's day. But so people will use this verse saying that Sunday is the Lord's day, but I question, where in the world do you get that from? Look at Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is, say it with me, Lord also of the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, so that is the Lord's day, not any other day. Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's the seventh day, which is Saturday. If we had God's temple here on earth and it was all intact, where do you think it would be? Thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, right? I mean, that's where it was in the past. So, thy holy mountain, God says. Notice, on a mountain, on the holy mountain, was Jerusalem, the holy city. So, on a holy mountain, there was a holy city. I worship toward thy holy temple. Okay, on a mountain there's a holy city, and inside that city there's a holy temple, right? He goeth into the holy place, the Bible says. So on the mountain, in the city, there is a temple, and inside that temple there's a holy place. But it goes further. There is the testimony in the most holy place. So you have a mountain that is holy, a city on the mountain that's holy, a temple in the city on the mountain that's holy, a holy place in the temple that's in the city on the mountain, and then finally a most holy place next to the holy place, inside the holy temple, inside the holy city, which is on the holy mountain. Okay, you're getting pretty holy, are you not? Okay, now break it down, family. Don't fall asleep now. Listen to me. If you're in the most holy place on the face of the earth, if you were there, you won't be because it's not on the earth anymore. If you were there years ago, listen, there is only one thing that is declared holy. Only one thing that actually states it is holy. Read it with me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Ten Commandments were inside of the most holy place, which was next to the holy place, which was inside the holy temple, which was inside the holy city, which was inside the holy, or on top of the holy mountain. And only once is the word holy used. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Think about it. Sabbath. S-A-B-B-A-T-H. What's the middle word there?
Abba.
Abba. What does Abba mean according to the Bible?
Father.
Father. It's God's day. It's the sign of the everlasting Father. That is what's holy. Spending time with God. Don't give it up, family. Do not say that what I'm saying is weird, because it is all biblical. Revelation chapter 12, let's read verse 17 again. The dragon was angry with the woman and went to make war with those that were remaining, her children. They kept the commandments of God. The devil himself is angry at the end of time with the church that keeps the commandments of God. Turn to chapter 14, verse 12. It says in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints, right during the time of the mark of the beast and the seal of God, the worship of the beast in his image. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Finally, turn to chapter 22, verse 14. And the scripture says right there, by the way, there are seven blessings in the book of Revelation. This is the final blessing. It says right there in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. My Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Does it not? Now listen, there's a couple things here. The Sabbath was given with creation, yes or no? We didn't look at the verses, but I promise you it's true. Jesus was and is the creator. He's the one that did it. Number two, it was kept weekly in the new heaven, or it will be rather kept weekly in the new earth and the new heavens. Yes or no?
Yes.
You read it out of your own Bible. Number three, God tested the children of Israel regarding his law before he gave his law on Mount Sinai in the wilderness with the manna. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. So God commanded to remember his Sabbath. Yes or no? God reminded Moses of the Sabbath before the law was given. We kind of already talked about that in number three. The first angel's message of Revelation chapter 14 at the very end of time, which is the gospel going to the world, quotes from the fourth commandment. Yes or no?
Yes.
He that made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters is taken directly from the commandments. Worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Same exact thing. Number seven, Jesus kept the Sabbath while he was on the earth. Yes or no?
Yes.
He would know what day it was because he's the one that gave it to us. Jesus rested in death during the Sabbath hours. Yes or no? Because
yes.
Remember, when the disciples were making ointment, it was on the preparation day, the day that Jesus died. They kept the Sabbath according to the commandment. That's when Jesus was in the grave. And then early in the Sunday morning, the first day, they went to bring the spices. But if you read on, Jesus wasn't there. The angel said, hey, he is risen. Amen. So he rested not only in life, but in death on the Sabbath day. Number nine, the disciples kept the Sabbath after Jesus died. You read it all through the book of Acts. Yes or no?
Yes.
Number 10, early church kept the Sabbath in the book of Acts. I guess number nine was referring to the disciples at the tomb
But the 10 is talking about the disciples in the book of Acts. Number 11, the Sabbath is the only day God is Lord of. Yes or no? And who's the one that said he is the Lord of the Sabbath?
Jesus
said it in Mark chapter 2, exactly. Number 12, we obey the law if we love Jesus, because the scripture says, read it with me, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, I want you all, every one of you, to spend time tonight in prayer over how you can accept this truth and honor God by the way you live in keeping the Sabbath holy so that you can spend that time with Him. Will you do it? Will you pray? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this time. I believe you've spoken to us tonight. And Lord, I wish that you would help us with ears that are touched from the divine hand to hear the words that have been spoken to the churches. I ask, Father, that you would please give us the time tonight to be able to pray in our own personal time with you, asking how we can implement this truth into our lives. Give us courage. Give us the ability to understand what the scripture says. Help us to know and understand that there are deceptions out there, but your word is rock solid. I ask that you would guide us. Thank you for this, and bring us again in Jesus' holy name. Amen.